Our Heavenly Father, the great and wonderful God, thank you for revealing yourself to each one of us. Thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for enabling us to enter into your kingdom, to become your children, and we pray that you will help us to know how to respond well to your high calling, that indeed we may fare well in your kingdom, and that your will in our lives may be fulfilled. We pray you will have the freedom to speak to our hearts, renew our minds, grant us insight into the scriptures, for we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 196th message. The subtopic for today, eagerness to learn, to know, to receive. We have been reflecting on the meaning and implications of the posture of God and truth, and we noted that the posture encompasses the total approach to life, how we can respond as well as farewell, respond to God's call and farewell in His kingdom. When we align our heart with the posture, there will be many implications, and today I want to concentrate on one obvious and important implication. We are all very conscious of this implication, but it's important that it is real in our hearts at all times, and that is the eagerness to learn, to grow in knowledge of the truth. It's very important for us to recognize this, that the moment we become God's children, as we enter into God's kingdom, a very, very important trait is this attitude, this quality in our hearts, the eagerness to learn. That is essential for success in our walk with God. In fact, you can say that this is one very important trait that distinguishes one who walks well with God or one who does not. And when we align our heart with the posture of God and truth, straight away there is the immediate implication of our eagerness to know the Lord, our eagerness to know the truth. And in fact, the two are closely related. At the very heart of our eagerness to learn is that is this desire to grow in our knowledge of the truth. And at the heart of the knowledge of the truth that we want to understand is the truth in relation to God and the ways of God, and how to be faithful to God, and how God's will can be fulfilled in our lives, as well as in the lives of others. Our concern is not only for ourselves, but also for others, and the way in which we can help others to attain to God's intentions for them. Is first, we need to know the truth and that God's will be fulfilled in our lives. A deep longing, your will be done. How can God's will be done unless we know God and we know His will? This is then directly related to the eagerness to learn, to know the truth that God has revealed, that God has revealed in the scriptures. We know that this is a very important trait, again, that stands out in the lives of all those who love God and all those who have made a mark in the history of the church. Men who not only love God, but who also love the scriptures. And this love of the scriptures is not emotional love. It's a deep longing to know what God has revealed in the scriptures. If you love God, you will want to know what He has revealed in the scriptures. And that is why God has inspired the scriptures for us, for our learning, to teach us, to train us, so that we may become adequate, equipped for every good work. So at the very heart of eagerness to learn, to know, is to learn to know what God has revealed to us through the scriptures. But not only that, there's a parallel aspect to it that's also very important. And that is also to know what God wants to teach us in our daily lives. That also bears a very close relationship with this eagerness to know what God has revealed in the Scriptures. Because as we grow in our knowledge of the truth, the principles revealed in the Scriptures, this will help us to understand what God is seeking to speak to us, to teach us in our daily lives. And the truths become alive to us. And our walk with God becomes a very lively walk. So in our daily lives, in every situation we go through, we long to learn what God wants to teach us. And this will help us in our growing appreciation of the truths revealed in the Scriptures. And as we grow in our knowledge of this lively walk with God and what God is teaching us in our daily lives, we will find that subsequently, as we continue to read the Scriptures, we will also be in a better position to gain deeper insight into the truths in the Scriptures, which will help us again to learn more in our daily walk with God. So these two are very closely related. And the very heart of it, there must be this deep longing to know the truth because we want to know God and because we want to absorb the truth. We will find that this spirit and attitude of heart is reflected throughout the Scriptures. And it must be so, because at the very heart of why God gives us the Scriptures is that we may know Him and we may know the truth. And so you'll find that again and again in different portions of the Scriptures, God encourages us, the writers of the Scriptures exhorts us to seek to know the truth and to treasure the truth that God has revealed to us. I'll just refer to a few key passages, but if you read the Scriptures, you'll find that it's reflected throughout. And God wants us to read the Scriptures in that way. God also wants us to live each day in this kind of spirit, a deep longing to deepen in our knowledge of the truth, closely linked to a deep longing to know more deeply God and the ways of God so that we can walk with Him in truth. There are not many records in the Scriptures of Paul's prayer for believers, but there are two that are very important. I refer to them from time to time. Let us now look at these two prayers of Paul in the Scriptures, and we will find that this is a very central thrust in these two prayers. First, let us look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. First, let us look at the context. The context in verse 9, Paul tells us that God has made known the mystery of His will. What has been in the heart of God even before the foundation of the world, but now He has made known, especially in the New Testament, and especially to the Apostle Paul. And at the heart of it, verse 9 tells us, it has to do with God's kind intentions, His purpose for us in Christ. Verse 9, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, that is, in Christ. I've mentioned that the revelation of the mystery and the central aspects of the mystery, what is in the heart of God, very critical if we want to align our hearts with the hearts of God, has to do with God's intentions for us in Christ. And then in verse 15, Paul says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." What does this tell us? Paul, having already introduced to us this very important subject of the mystery, he now tells us when he heard of the faith of the Ephesian believers. That means the moment he knew they were Christians, what was his concern? How did he pray for them? Or rather, before that is, one major aspect of his response when he knew about their faith is to pray for them. We know the importance of prayer, the power of prayer. But what did he pray for them? Not only pray for them, he says, "I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." And the "do not cease," you can say, qualify giving thanks, but it's also meaningful to see it as inclusive of God, Paul's prayer. He continues to pray for them. In what direction? What's the thrust of Paul's prayer? And that should also be the concern of our hearts and also how we pray for others. Verse 7, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. So you see one key word there is knowledge. And if you look at the margin, it says true knowledge. Paul wants to make sure we understand him correctly. This knowledge here is a richer expression of the meaning of knowledge. That means Paul wants us to understand that he's praying that there may be a rich knowledge of God, a true knowledge of God, experiential, spiritual content, alive. And Paul went on in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This knowledge of God, as well as what he's going to mention further down, requires spiritual insight. It requires God's revelation. So this is a kind of knowledge that we ought to be concerned about. And this is what Paul is praying. A spirit of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge of him. We know that this cannot come about by our own struggles. It must come from God. But God also doesn't just reveal the truth haphazardly. He reveals to those whose hearts are ready, where there's a longing to know and to receive. And Paul is praying that this may indeed come about, that there may be a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, the knowledge of God. Of him there, we can say God, we can say also the Lord Jesus Christ. They are closely related. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. This whole preceding verses there talks about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ and his God's intentions for us in Christ. So it can be meaningfully appreciated. A spirit of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's intentions for us in him. So it actually has to do with all that actually is important in the heart of God. And all the truths that God wants to reveal to us has a bearing on this whole issue of the fulfillment of God's purposes. And God wants us to know. And it's important that we align our heart with that. So Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, here it's not just the mental, but the eyes of the heart. But the eyes of the heart when enlightened, so you will know, the mind also knows. But there's a renewed mind. The heart goes together with it. And there's a spiritual dimension. There's also a positive moral content to it. And it is all linked to God's call. That you may, the eyes of the heart enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. So knowledge, knowing the truth, very important. Know the hope of God's call. We want to respond well to God's call. Then we must know what it's all about. What is God's call? What is he calling us into? Unto? How can we attain to his high calling? And related to that, is this aspect what Paul says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? There's more than one way to interpret this part of the text, but now we'll just take the text as it is, which is a reasonable way of translating this text. The riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, in a very powerful way, communicates to us that we are very important to God. It has to do with our potential in Christ. And Paul says the riches of the glory of what? God's inheritance in the saints. The potential in believers, and is something very precious and important to God. And for us to attain to that, then it's very important, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, the knowledge of God, knowledge, and the eyes of our heart enlightened so that we know, and that we can then move well in the direction of God's call. Then Paul went on to say, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? We must also know the greatness of God's power is infinite power. But again, this knowledge is not just a mere recognition that God is infinitely powerful, but the eyes of our heart enlightened so that we have a glimpse, and then more than just a glimpse, we really appreciate what is the greatness of God's power, and not just God's power, but God's power toward us who believe. How we can experience the almighty power of God, the surpassing greatness of God's power, and how this can become real in our lives. And this is essential or very important if we want to rise up to God's high calling. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. So Paul in different ways emphasizes the interrelationship of all these major issues of the Christian faith, and they are all closely linked to the true knowledge that is very important that we must set our hearts upon. Let's now look at the second important prayer of Paul recorded in the scriptures, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. I've mentioned to you, this is one of the, my favorite passages in the scriptures, and I do refer to this passage from time to time. It's very rich in meaning. But again, look at the context. Context here in verse 4, Paul says, since we heard of your faith in Christ. And if you read through this whole passage before verse 9, it's in that direction. Paul, when he heard of their faith in Christ, that is, the moment he came to recognize that these people have turned to Christ, that they have become believers, they have understood the grace of God in truth. Verse 6, what did Paul do? He says, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, when we come to know of your faith in Christ, you become believers. Then Paul says, he concentrated, we have not ceased to pray for you. I mentioned just now in the other passage in Ephesians chapter 1, we can also appreciate from the angle that Paul unceasingly continued to pray for the Ephesian believers. But here he makes it very clear, we have not ceased to pray for you. So when Paul puts it like that, it means we must pay heed to it. It's very, very important. We have not ceased to pray for you. Is this what we pray for ourselves and we pray for one another? And do we do all that we can to move in that direction for our own lives, and how we can exhort, encourage, help one another? And I want to raise this for your consideration. That is one of the major issues why we gather together, why we come together. The meaning of God's children gathering together. This is one very, very key issue, because we want to know the truth. We want to know God and God's ways, so that we can respond well to God and God's high calling. So knowledge is extremely important. If in your heart there isn't this eagerness to learn, to grow in your knowledge of the truth, then you know something is seriously lacking. You must nurture it. And one important way you can be encouraged, motivated, and helped in the nurturing of this eagerness to learn, to know the truth, is when you begin to more and more to appreciate the importance of knowledge of the truth. And today's message, hopefully something can get through to you. You may say you love the Lord, there are many different ways of seeking to work out your faith, but if this area is lacking, face it, is it lacking? Not just that you have something of this, we must recognize it's very important to nurture it as much as you can. And hopefully today's message can contribute something in that direction. So Paul says, without ceasing, he prayed for the brethren. And what did he pray? And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The words are different, but the thrust, the direction is similar. Again, no knowledge. And verse 9, you look at the margin, it says real knowledge, or real knowledge. You may be not only not have knowledge, but filled with the knowledge of His will. Don't be satisfied just with knowing a little. It's a lifelong thing. There must be the eagerness to grow more and more in our knowledge of the will of God, filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The wisdom there includes not only understanding the truth, but how to apply the truth in our own lives and the situations that we go through. It's a true understanding, a true knowledge of the truth, which includes wisdom. But all this must go together with that meaningful relationship with God. It's not possible without that. That's why God and truth, they go together. They cannot be separated. And Paul wants the believers to understand. This is extremely important, he says, if you want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, so that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We want to walk worthy of God. We want to rise up to His high calling. How? Knowledge of God's will, filled with knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, is extremely important. We want to please God. This is the way, so that we can please Him in all respects. Not just some, but all respects. How? Knowledge of the truth, of the ways of God, knowledge of God. All these are extremely important. Knowledge. You want to serve God well, bear good fruit, contribute to His kingdom. It follows. Bearing good fruit. Bearing fruit in every good work. The so that all this will follow. Or all this, if you want to walk in a manner worthy of God, please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, then you must concentrate on how you can be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then Paul says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So knowledge comes again, and you see the close relationship with knowledge of God. Again, verse 11, Paul says, strengthened with all power. Ephesians 1, he talks about the eyes of our heart enlightened, so we know God's tremendous power. And here Paul again talks about the importance of power. And it goes together. Knowledge of God's will, filled knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, then walking in a manner worthy of God. All these will go together with being strengthened with His power. We want to grow well, we need to be strengthened with God's power. As we know the will of God, walk with Him, we will also grow in our experience of God's power. And not just little, according to His glorious might. And then Paul also mentions attaining of steadfastness, all steadfastness and patience. So you want to be steadfast? All these are related. It begins with Paul emphasizing the importance of being filled with the knowledge of God's will, the knowledge of the truth. And then together with that, joy, a spirit of thanksgiving. They all go together. And you know that all these are very much related to integral aspects of what I've mentioned to you before, the posture of God in truth. They all go together. But at the very heart of it, how all this can come about, we must know the truth, absorb, receive it well. And if you go further down this chapter, you will find that Paul's prayer and his laboring has a goal and has a direction to it, which is what we've been talking about, how we can rise up to God's high calling. And what is the goal of Paul's labor? He didn't leave it for us to guess. He makes it clear. His prayer, his laboring, what is it? You go further down, the last two verses in the same chapter. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ or mature in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. So there's a direction, there's a goal that we can be mature, each one mature, complete or mature in Christ. And this is related to the carrying out of the word of God in verse 25 that he talks about, his stewardship of the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the manifestation of God's glory, and also how God's glory can be manifested in our lives, God's intentions for us. So we see they are all closely related by the very heart of it. How do we begin to grow well? Is there this eagerness to know the truth? And Paul makes it clear, it's not just for some people, but he says every man. Paul says he proclaims, he admonishes every man, teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And then he went on to say, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. So Paul devoted his life towards this goal. Should we not also devote our lives in that direction? I mentioned just now that this thrust, this direction of the importance of knowledge of the truth and even the very whole purpose of the scriptures is in that direction. I now want to refer you to one book in the Bible. You can see the whole book of the Bible is devoted to this one book of the Bible, especially devoted to this purpose. The book of Proverbs. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, which tells us the purpose, the thrust of the whole book of Proverbs, as well as warnings. And that is very helpful for us to bear in mind. The scriptures not only exhorts us, encourages us, but also warns us if we fail to pay heed to the exhortations in the scriptures. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Verses 1 to 7. How Solomon introduces this book, and the way he introduces this book is actually trying to tell us what's the purpose of this book, what's the goal. And as we read from verse 1, it becomes very clear that it is so. That's how he begins Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. So that's the purpose. Why did he write Proverbs? To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior. To know wisdom, instruction, discern, understanding, wise behavior. Then he says, righteousness, justice, and equity. So we see there is a positive moral dimension to it. It's meant to help us to move in a direction of wise behavior. Not just reading and say, yes, yes, I agree. Oh, how beautiful are these words. But it's meant to help us in our lives to receive and then resulting in wise behavior. To give prudence to the naive. Naive, in the Proverbs you'll find, it is not a positive word. It has a negative connotation. Sometimes the naive word in the margin is a simple one. So we think, oh, don't be crooked and all that. Be simple-minded is good. No, here it's talking about naive in the sense of lacking in knowledge. So you become gullible, easily deceived, easily taken advantage of by people, by the forces of darkness, and not knowing what to do, how to live your life wisely, how to respond well to God and God's calling. So it's to counter that. Well, you may say, yes, at the moment I'm quite naive. Well, you need not remain in that state. Proverbs says to give prudence to the naive. To the youth, knowledge and discretion. You may say, I'm young, I do not know much. Good. If you recognize you do not know much, the scriptures is given to us to help us to grow in knowledge and discretion. And even for those of us who have walked with God many years, we still are a long way off. There's still so much for us to learn, to grow, to continue to increase in our knowledge of the truth, and to learn how to be discerning, to be discreet. So a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Do you want to be wise? Then we must be prepared to hear, and we must want to grow, to increase in our learning. Man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Don't just on your own, others can help us. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools. This is something that none of us will want to be. When Proverbs says fools, he's not saying you're lacking in intelligence. He says, and Proverbs use this word fool, for example, in this context. He's talking about the inappropriate way of response to God and to the exhortations of the scriptures, a foolish way of living your life. No good. And they will come under God's judgment. The opposite of wisdom. Here it's not lacking in knowledge, or not lacking in intelligence, but rather opposite of wisdom. But the first part of the verse tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to really grow in knowledge of the truth, then it's very critical. Is there that fear of the Lord, that reverence for God? That's why I mentioned the two are closely related. It's because there's this reverence for God, this fear of God. We long to know God. We want to walk in His ways. We do not treat lightly God's instructions, that we set our hearts to know what God has revealed. What are God's instructions? Verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, should also communicate to us this spirit of a continuing learning, this eagerness to learn. You see, you're already wise, but the wise man, he will hear and he will continue to increase in learning. It's meant to be lifelong. As I mentioned, do not become complacent, do not become proud. If we have learned something from the Lord, let us be very thankful, and that should spur us on, motivate us to continue to move well in that direction. Let us now continue on with Proverbs chapter 1, but now look at verse 20. From verse 20 to 33, I will go through quickly. Verse 20, wisdom shouts in the street. Verse 21, at the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. Verse 22, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? So I mentioned here, naive, it's not good. Love being simple-minded. The simple-minded here is no good. It's lacking in knowledge, in understanding. How long, O naive ones, will you love this? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. So all this goes together. Naive, who just want to remain lacking in knowledge and understanding, and scoffers. You know, scoffers, these are the cynical ones, very bad. And they delight in scoffing. And fools who hate knowledge, they do not regard knowledge as something precious. So wisdom is shouting, how long will you remain in that state? Check, is there any of these kind of elements within us? Of course, not in the fool's force of it. That will be very terrible. But is there any element of that? But wisdom goes on. Verse 23. Turn to my reproof. And then it warns us. Because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. This is a very serious warning, and the consequences will come from verse 26 onwards. Wisdom calling, we can also look at it from the angle of God calling. After all, true wisdom comes from God. Here is wisdom personified. So that's why wisdom can call. Wisdom itself cannot call. But God is actually calling us. And Paul tells us, in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And what's the wisdom that we want to attain to, acquire? It's actually the wisdom of God. Wisdom that comes from God. God is love. God is light. We can also say God is wisdom. Wisdom shouts, calls, exhorts, and warns us. We can also say God is calling, God is warning. But speaking from the angle of wisdom, he says, turn to my reproof. So verse 24 onwards, verses 24 and 25, pay heed. Because I called and you refused. This is the negative response of the foolish. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. Well, it means I didn't reject. I didn't despise knowledge and wisdom. But are you paying attention? If you are not paying the attention that God requires of us, and verse 25, and you neglected, is there neglect? We'll see in contrast later on how we should value and treasure true knowledge and wisdom. But if we reject, we pay no attention, we neglect, and not only that, did not want my reproof. Something amiss, God is reproving us, but we don't pay attention, we don't want it, we harden our hearts. This can lead to very serious negative outcome. There are varying degrees of it. What is that? Verse 26 tells us, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. If we do not grow in knowledge of the truth and in wisdom, then terrible things can come our way and happen to us. And then we will be very fearful. But at that time, wisdom tells us, I will laugh at your calamity. We deserve it. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, it can come very fast and furious, and the effect upon us can be very drastic. When distress and anguish come upon you, oh, you find it very hard to bear, very, very difficult. Verse 26 says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Then they will call. Who are these? These are those that he has mentioned earlier, the naive ones, the scoffers, the fools who reject and hate knowledge. He says, when distress comes, very difficult, anguish comes, then they will call on me. Then they want wisdom, how to respond to this situation. They wish they had the knowledge. They wish they are wise to know how to respond. But wisdom says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. It doesn't mean anytime we want knowledge, God will give to us. No. Let us not be presumptuous. Well, as I mentioned, prayerfully reflect upon it. We may not be so hardened, and we may not be scoffers, fools, to that kind of high degree, but if we are neglectful, we fail to learn, if there isn't the eagerness, God gives us many opportunities to learn so much, but we have been complacent. We only learn a little. Then, many things come our way. We can be hit very hard. And yes, we know the little. So we respond better than someone who knows nothing. But it can still fall very far short. Yes, we cry out to God, and sometimes in His grace, He still helps us. But He also wants us to learn. That is part of His disciplining hand upon us. That He grants us many opportunities. But are we learning? The other is to bear in mind this. The way God has created us and the way He provides opportunities for us. Growth in knowledge and wisdom is not instantaneous. The moment I say, God help me, and even if our gifts are good and God wants to help us, it doesn't mean instantaneously you will know everything. You'll be filled with the knowledge of the truth in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It takes time. And how much more so if our attitudes are not so good? And then we'll find knowledge, wisdom, very important, but don't have it. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. At that time, be very frantic. And diligently you seek. But that kind of seeking indicates there's something defective in what motivates us. We only want to know the truth when we are faced with calamities. Wisdom tells us why he will not answer, why they will not find him. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. If there's true reverence for God, there will also be a hunger to know his instructions and his ways. Because they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. I gave them so many opportunities, but attitudes were not good. Verse 31, so they shall eat of the fruit of their way and be satiated with their own devices. This is a principle revealed in the scriptures. This is a way of God. The principle of reaping what we sow. That's your kind of attitude. You will suffer for it. And hopefully from there you will learn something from it. So when you go through a lot of trial difficulties, then you recognize, oh, I don't know how to respond. But actually you should have known. Many of these truths, God has given you opportunities to learn, to grapple with them. And had you paid attention, grapple with them, absorb them, then when those difficulties come, you would have been able to respond to them quite well. But you didn't. Then hopefully, when these difficulties come, you realize, I have failed. It's wrong of me. From now onwards, I must change my attitude. I must now choose to make the most of all the opportunities that God has given to me and not be satisfied with superficial understanding and knowledge. But we want to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So, wisdom says, did not choose the fear of the Lord, would not accept my counsel, spurn all my reproof. They shall eat the fruit of their own way, satiated with their own devices. Verse 32, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them. It can be very serious. Let us not be presumptuous. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. Precisely, neglect, complacency, the consequences can be very serious. But in contrast, verse 33, but he who listens to me shall live securely in the midst of trials, turmoil, in this fallen world, attacks of the evil one. God assures us we can be secure in him and in his ways. But he who listens, so not only have some idea of the truth, but listens. There must be that receptivity. You pay heed. You listen. Listen and listen well. Then you shall live securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. It doesn't mean nothing will happen to you, but you will be all right. And this becomes even clearer in the New Testament. Old Testament, some of these things, not so clear. But by the New Testament times, very, very clear. Whatever may happen, God says, God has assured us through the Apostle Paul, God will cause all things to work together for good to those who love him. And the knowledge of the truth respond well to God. We need not be afraid, fearful, whatever may happen. We can go through them well together with God. But you cannot say, oh, I depend on God. God knows everything. So long as I walk with God, it's all right. Knowledge, not important. God has all the knowledge. Yes, God has all the knowledge. But he wants us to grow in knowledge of the truth. So if we are complacent, we neglect, then can we really say we love God? We are truly walking with him, in fellowship with him? He who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. So how should we respond? Very clearly, the preceding as well as we look on further from Proverbs. And the scriptures makes it very clear to us, we must recognize the tremendous value of wisdom and knowledge. Treasure it. Earnestly seek for wisdom and knowledge with a receptive heart. And then there will be significant positive outcome. And together with that, God's approval, God's blessings. This comes through very clearly throughout the scriptures, and there's a lot of it in Proverbs. I'll just refer to a small portion of it in Proverbs 2 and 3. But small in relation to the whole book of Proverbs. But you see, I'm going through a whole passage, so you can see the whole flow. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. I'll go through quickly. My son, if you will receive my words, very important, you must receive. Listen, receive, and treasure my commandments within you. So receive, treasure. Make your ears attentive. The opposite to the scoffers and the fools. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. Not just your mind, but your heart. Where is your heart? Do you treasure the truth? Do you pay attention to wisdom? For if you cry for discernment, you see the heart cries out. You long for wisdom, for discernment. Lift your voice for understanding. Seek her as silver. Search for her as for hidden treasures. Not only the people of the world, even Christians. If someone will tell you, there's a very, very big treasure hidden somewhere, and give you some clues, and not illegal, if it's not illegal, and you can dig for it, and you'll find it's yours. I think not just non-Christians, many Christians will spend a lot of energy and effort to dig for this treasure. But it's just earthly treasure. And not even these big treasures, even treasure hunt. Children, and only children, when adults play this game, you see also they make a lot of effort. Even in a game. Yes, some of you who have played, you know. You are prepared to make a lot of effort to find that treasure. At the end of it, it's actually nothing. It's just a game. But still. And so on with so many things in life. We spend so much effort, so much attention. And even hone our skills in many things. Not even big treasure. But the true treasure. Are we giving it the kind of attention? Are we seeking for it? Are we diligent? I hope something can get through to each one of us. If you have this in you and continuing to be so, it will be very helpful for your growth as well as the way you attain to God's high calling. It's a very, very important aspect. Treasuring, paying attention, and you want to receive, your heart is inclined to it. You cry out, you seek for it as what hidden treasure. Verse 5, then you will discern the fear of the Lord. That's the outcome. You see, knowledge of the truth will help you to truly learn how to reverence, to have true reverence for God. And discover the knowledge of God. They are closely related. For the Lord gives wisdom. Ah, see, they are closely related. God is the one. The true wisdom will come from God. And as you seek for true wisdom and understanding, you will also at the same time be deepening in your knowledge of God and your relationship with God. And you know you have to seek true knowledge and wisdom together with seeking God and also looking to God to grant you spiritual insight and understanding. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. This warns us also to distinguish between the genuine and the false. Many people can appear to help us with a lot of knowledge and wisdom, but when it is not linked together with relationship with God and what truly comes from God, then it is not the true knowledge we are talking about. And this can even come under the umbrella of Christian knowledge. And this is true. You can be a professor in a theological college. You can write theological theses, highly acclaimed, and yet do not know God. And the truths that you write are all dead knowledge. And many Christians also spend many hours going through all these things that do not really help them. In fact, not only that, it can even harm them, become puffed up, as well as led astray, instead of true knowledge. But I'm not saying that scholarship is not important. I'm saying that it needs to be linked to relationship with God. And true knowledge is alive. And yes, there are those who love the Lord, who go deeply, who write books and articles that are highly acclaimed and also very good. So don't go to the extreme to think all these are no good. Yes, there are those who have spiritual insight, who write good books, and we must appreciate them, learn, benefit from them, but be discerning. It must be true knowledge that goes together with relationship with God, revelation from God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright, verse 7. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. So it tells us, you just long for wisdom, knowledge in itself, you may not go very far. You may also have a false sense of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. You must have this aspect in your heart, upright, walk in integrity. That means the positive moral dimension in your heart and in your life is very important. God stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, your heart and your life. The positive moral dimension, very, very important if you want to grow in true knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, guarding the path of justice. You see, God's wisdom knowledge is to help you to walk aright. And what is to walk aright is the path of truth, justice, righteousness. And He preserves the way of His godly ones. Those who love Him, those who are godly. So we must set our hearts in that direction. It cannot be that we say in our hearts, we long for the truth, we want to grow, but we are not. Our hearts are not set on the path of truth and righteousness. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Extremely important. Verse 9, then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good cause. So wisdom and knowledge is meant to help us to discern righteousness, justice, equity, and every good cause for all that is good. How to live a good life. The positive moral dimension and goal of knowledge and wisdom comes through again from verse 10. Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart. That is, if the preaching is true, there is the love for the Lord, righteousness, and so on. And God teaches us, we are walking in integrity. Wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And here it's not just a sensation. Positive feelings at a deeper level. There's a place for that. When we enter into a meaningful relationship with God and our hearts grow in wisdom, in knowledge of the truth, there is an experience in our hearts of a positive nature that can be described as pleasant to the soul. Discretion will guard you. So the positive, the advantages, the helpfulness, there's a positive moral dimension of the goal of knowledge and wisdom. So discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the men who speak perverse things. It will help you. It will guard you. It will deliver you from evil and from evil men. And we read on to verse 13. The ways of darkness. Verse 15. For those who are devious in their ways. So it is very helpful. Well, there's a lot more that is very helpful. But I think I have to stop here. Although I've prepared more, I thought I could cover all, but you know, it's better, more important to be able to communicate than just to go through very too quickly, too many things. I want to encourage you. There is indeed a lot in the scriptures. And what God wants, what God reveals to us in the scriptures, they all hold together in a very beautiful whole. So if we consistently, continually read the scriptures with a heart hungry to know the truth, to deepen the relationship with God, receptive, then with passing time more and more, we will find the scriptures yield to us so much. They're so rich food for the soul that strengthens and enriches our relationship with God, our walk with God. And with passing time, if you persevere, as the years pass by, you will find that it keeps on yielding to us rich dividends. The moment you become a Christian, when you read the scriptures with the eagerness to know the truth, you will straight away have the whole of the scriptures and many, many precious truths feeding your soul. And you will continue to yield more and more. May the Lord speak to us and each one of us have this hunger to know Him, to know what He has revealed in the scriptures, as well as how that can also help us to grow in our knowledge of the truth in our daily lives. What He wants to teach us and speak to us, we all need to come together. But do we recognize the value? Do we treasure what God has to say to us? Or will we be neglectful, complacent? Should we not be diligent, so that we will not be found wanting? And when we need the knowledge, then we want to diligently search for it, it can be too late. And also that kind of reaching out for knowledge cannot be very helpful, because it has not become an integral part of our life. It has not renewed our mind. But God in His grace and mercy often still encourages and helps us, as well as through people help us from time to time. But if we want to live a life that is steadfast, that continually bear good fruit, God has shown us the way, and there's no other way. But bear in mind, what we are talking about today, it goes together with all the major areas of truth, and they all can come under the umbrella of the posture of God and truth, and the implications for our lives. We'll pause here for today, and the Lord willing, we'll continue to look to Him to grant us insight into His ways and what He has revealed in the scriptures. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake Lord's Supper, ask the Lord to speak to us. Do we have that kind of eagerness to learn, to grow in our knowledge of the truth that God desires of us? Do we treasure what He has in store for us? Are we receptive? Is there any element of complacency, neglect, hardened hearts? And in many different ways, God may be speaking to us, even reproving us, disciplining us, but are we still hard of hearing? Don't wait until it becomes very, very bad. If we love the Lord, then we want to hear what He has to say to us and respond quickly, without undue delay. So let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake Lord's Supper, ask the Lord to deepen our love for Him and our love for the truth, and to incline our heart to seek diligently for the truth, to seek for knowledge and wisdom as for hidden treasures. That this goes together with our relationship with God and our desire to deepen in our fellowship with Him and to be faithful to Him and to rise up to His high calling. Let's ask the Lord to help us to recognize what steps we need to take and resolve in our hearts now. And then act accordingly. Our Father in Heaven, we thank You for inspiring the Scriptures for our learning, that we may be taught, trained in righteousness, that indeed we become adequate and equipped for every good work. Help us to learn how to treasure the deep truths You revealed in the Scriptures, to seek, to understand, to grow in wisdom, understanding, knowledge of You and of Your ways, with earnestness. Help us that we will not be amongst those the book of Proverbs described as naive and worse, not to be like scoffers or the fools who hate knowledge. Thank You. In many different ways, You have spoken to us, You have encouraged us, and at times also reproved us, disciplined us, all for our good, because You love us. Help us that we may not harden our hearts, but we may respond deeply to Your kind intentions for us. We pray that the Spirit of God will continue to have the freedom to speak to us, to renew our minds, and that as we read the Scriptures, You will be pleased to reveal the treasures of wisdom and knowledge therein, and enlighten the eyes of our heart, that more and more we may know how to respond well to You in Your calling, personally and together as Your children. Help us to know what are the steps that we need to take. And to be deeply resolved in our hearts to take the necessary steps. Thank You now for the Lord's Supper. We can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine, and we ask that You be pleased to strengthen us and deepen our oneness with You and with the brethren, the body of Christ, as we learn to partake in faith with conviction and understanding. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.